Good morning and welcome to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. It's the weekly program about health, nutrition, fitness, lifestyle, and anything that falls under those categories. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak, here with my co-host Tim Henney. Now, this morning in the program, we're talking about all kinds of things: golf, mountain biking with costumes, being inspired, and how to make great gluten-free lunches.
That's right. First, we'll talk about the health aspects of golf and other items that relate to the Park Meadows Country Club. We thought we hadn't yet talked about golf on this program, so we'll be joined by Eric Karshner of the Park Meadows Country Club.
Then Charlie Sturgis of the Mountain Trails Foundation will stop by to talk briefly about the 33rd annual Tour de Suds taking place this Sunday.
Can you confirm and authenticate that it's the 33rd?
I just guessed. Took a wild guess.
That's how we kind of came up with the 20th. It was like, really? The 20th? Yeah, somewhere in there.
Well, I have heard 33rd a couple of times, so I've heard it more than I've heard 32nd, so we're going with 33rd. That's also followed by an interview with Harvard Law School graduate turned passionate dreamer and writer, Tama Keeves, with her new book called Inspired and Unstoppable, Wildly Succeeding in Your Life's Work.
And finally, a conversation with chef and author Tracy Griffith about her new book, Stealth Health: Lunches Kids Love. If you want to cut the gluten out of your kids' diet, stay tuned for this one.
You're listening to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch, right here on KPCW. We'll be right back.
I'm John Wells.
And I'm Lynn Ware-Peak.
Join us for Cool Science Radio, Thursdays at 9 a.m.
From the discovery of new dinosaurs to the science of an avalanche.
From the secret technology behind Facebook to nanotechnology.
Deciphering science and tech in an entertaining, amusing, and accessible way.
It's Cool Science Radio. If we understand it, so can you.
Thursdays at 9 a.m., only in Park City, only on KPCW. Brought to you by 350 Main and the Spur Bar and Grill.
Enjoy the fall colors at the Utah Olympic Park this autumn. From now through October 27th, activities including zip lines, alpine slide, adventure ropes courses, and scenic chairlift rides are available weekends only from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. The park will also be open October 17th through the 20th for the UEA fall break. Details and ticket prices are available at the UtahOlympicLegacy.com. Utah Olympic Park is a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing sport and recreation opportunities.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak, here with my co-host Tim Henney. Well, a Jack Nicklaus signature golf course opened way back in 1983. We used to call it the Park Meadows Golf Course, and now it's called the Park Meadows Country Club because it has a whole lot more going on there than just meets the eye with golf. And here to join us to talk all about what's going on at the Park Meadows Country Club is Assistant Manager Eric Karshner. And good morning to you, Eric.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you. And, you know, maybe we just run over quickly the sort of the history around the Park Meadows Country Club. You opened in 1983. And for a very long time, it was just a golf course.
Yes, correct. We were just a golf course. We were the public course, or one of the public courses here in Park City, and we were the public course for the better part of a decade in the 1980s.
And so at what point did they just transitioned right into a private course selling memberships? Do you happen to know what a membership cost way back then?
You know, I don't off the top of my head what it was, but I know it's probably substantially less than it is now.
Right, right. So about how many members do you have?
We have 250 golfing members and we have 65 social members.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've heard from people who aren't golfers who are members of the Park Meadows Country Club. So what's the difference between a golf membership and a social membership? And what benefit do they get by being part of the country club?
The main difference between the two classifications of membership is that the golf membership, you get full unlimited access to our Jack Nicklaus signature course and then also to our practice facilities. The social members, they do receive limited access to those, but for the most part, they're allowed to come into the club, utilize our fitness center, our pool, our food and beverage services, and then they can also participate in all of our club's social events, whether they're held at the club or they're an outside group, such as one of our skiing groups or hiking groups that we have.
Do you think some of those social members don't golf at all?
Yeah, quite a few of them don't. Quite a few of them are just there for, strictly for the social aspect and for the fitness center and the pool. Those are also big draws for some of our social members.
And so how big is your fitness center? In other words, you know, how does it compare to other fitness centers around town that are just do that?
Well, it's quite a bit smaller when you compare it to some of the other, the larger athletic clubs around town. It's about 2,000 square feet. However, we do have a lot of strength equipment in there. We have a lot of cardio equipment. We have a nice free weight and stretching area in there as well. The good thing about it is that it's rarely crowded. For the most part, you'll see a maximum of 7 to 10 people in there in the morning at our peak hours between 7 and 9. And throughout the day, most times when I go in there, there's 1 to 2 people. So you've it's pretty much your own personal workout area, which is great.
That's nice. Now, I'm wondering how golf has evolved over the years in that probably a lot of golf courses in the past were just that, just golf. And then probably somewhere along the line, an exercise physiologist figured it out that it makes sense to strengthen your and tone your body for golf. So do you have trainers that sort of bring the two together for people, especially as they age? Because as we know, golf, a lot of people who golf are getting on in years.
We do have a trainer who works through the club. She is there, and she does specialize in golf exercises, golf-specific motion exercises and stretching and strengthening of the core and the hips and all of that. I would say probably about 20 of our members go through her. She does a very nice job. She's Titleist certified, and she's also an RN as well.
Something I didn't know is that you have winter trails for your members. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah. During the winter, from January through March, we do have winter trails available for our members. That's a few kilometers, I'd say, 3 to 4 at the max. We have a nice loop that goes around our driving range, and we also have a few kilometers that go out along a few of our holes. And those are set for traditional cross-country skate skiing, and we do allow snowshoeing on them as well.
Okay, and I assume those who are social members only can use those trails.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those are available to all of our members.
Okay, great. And you have a bunch of other activities that go on. You mentioned the skiing. You go to Deer Valley on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you have some hiking groups. Talk about those a little bit.
Yeah, our membership, they're very active. As you said, they're going on in age. So they are all looking forward different ways to be active throughout the community. I mean, I think that's why they've all relocated or lived in Park City for as long as they have. We have a lot of different biking groups, mountain biking groups, and then also hiking groups. And then one of our biggest groups that we have through the club is the Tuesday Blues Day ski group. And that group, they meet up at Deer Valley every morning. They ski throughout the morning, have coffee, and then they meet at one of the local area restaurants up at Deer Valley, have lunch, and then call it a day. And it's more of a social group, but they also have that active aspect to it as well.
Okay. All this talk of exercise is making me hungry.
I thought that might be the case. I can tell.
Yeah. So you have a great restaurant there and an award-winning chef.
Yes, we do. We're very fortunate to have Chef Chris Sheehan. He previously was at the Blue Boar, where he won 2 Best of State awards for the best chef in Utah. And he's brought his culinary expertise to Park Meadows. We've had him at the club for the past five years, I believe. And he has put together a seasonal, regionally inspired menu. And he has a lot of gluten-free items, and he has a lot of low-calorie items as well. And he does have health, fitness, and wellness all in mind when he's creating these menus.
I know that in the past there was kind of an issue with who your target audience was here in Park City and how to expand the membership. Have you guys narrowed it down, and now you're kind of focused on the people that we're talking about here who are getting on in age a little bit and are looking for that social component as well as that athletic component? Or are you still trying to broaden out to a younger segment of our community?
Well, we've definitely zeroed in on our targeted demographic, and that being retirees, right. People who are either relocated to Park City to retire, or they are getting close. Within the next 2 to 3 years, I would say that they're looking at retiring. That's definitely our target demographic.
That's worked out pretty well, targeting that demographic.
Yeah, it has. It's worked out pretty well. We are trying to broaden our spectrum of members within the next couple of years. We would really like to get younger members into the club.
And does the social membership appeal to a different demographic than the golf membership, the full membership?
Yes, it does, especially to people who are still working, whether they're younger with families or they're older and just looking towards retirement. They just don't have the time to golf. Golf is a very time-consuming activity. And for them to dedicate 3 to 4 hours of a workday is nearly impossible. So,
or 6 hours if you include the adult beverages, which is a really critical part of golfing.
Absolutely.
At least my golfing.
The 19th hole is very important.
Go ahead. Oh, I was wondering about children. Do you open up the social membership to children as well, or families? And
All of our memberships are for a family. So any child under the age of 23 or those who are still in college fall underneath that membership.
You might have to redefine that, because we're finding that children still applies to about, what is it, Lynn, 28 now?
28, 30.
Yeah. In Charlie's case, yeah.
Very good. Okay. Final question. I just have to ask, I know you probably have depending upon the type of membership and how it's all structured, can you give me a ballpark figure on what memberships cost there, the golf and the social membership?
Sure. The golf membership is $38,000, and that's a non-refundable initiation fee. And then we also have monthly dues, which are $890. And the social membership is a non-refundable $5,000 subscription fee. And the monthly dues for that are $300.
Okay, great. Eric Karshner, Assistant Manager of Park Meadows Country Club, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. We'll be back with Mountain Trails Foundation Executive Director Charlie Sturgis to talk about the debatable 33rd annual tour. 30,
just the number.
35th.
Okay, we'll be back.
Hi, I'm Kelly from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of European and mountain contemporary home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake, and both offer complete design services. We're on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
This week, it's two natives of the Texas Gulf Coast. First guitar slinger Johnny Winter of Beaumont, talking about his youth and milestones in the blues. Then Houston pianist Jason Moran, who found his way to jazz from classical through Thelonious Monk. All that in a honky-tonk jukebox. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Sunday mornings at 11 on KPCW.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak here with my co-host Tim Henney. Well, get out your best costume and grab your mountain bike and meet at City Park Sunday morning for the 33rd, 34th, 35th, something like that, annual Tour de Suds.
Lynn, what's your favorite costume? I've seen you in a number of different.
Oh, my favorite one was when a big group of us wore prom dresses and went as Miss something, and I was Miss Creant. That was my favorite.
I personally was a big fan of the girls from the university ski team last year that showed up as sheriffs in their
that was pretty
little
good.
Outfits. And not only that, they rocked it. They were both.
I was chasing a sheriff.
They were both under an hour. They were like 56, 57 minutes. Yeah. Those girls were cruising up the hill, and they looked good doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Nice. Well, Charlie Sturgis, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Good morning.
We didn't introduce you, so you're here to talk briefly about that. We've got just a couple minutes. Give us the details that we need to know.
Well, let's go back into just the history of this event. First off, a lot of people refer to it as a race, but of course, this is the non-race race of the mountain bike season. So this is a tour if you want. It's a race if you want. Go as fast as or as slow as you want.
It's all uphill. You can't really change that aspect of it.
We can't change the elevation. There's right. No question. It is uphill, but it is pretty good fun to be running up Main Street with it a bunch is. Of people all in costumes. So, you know, this event is all about being zany, having a good time, and it's certainly always a little bit of an interest in maybe having a better PR than last year.
Right.
So, you know, that's the way it is.
I can remember where I would look from, say, halfway up Park Avenue, and the front end of this line would just be about to make the left-hand turn onto the, you know, by the High West. These days, that turn is happening. I'm so much further back on Park Avenue. It's really a little embarrassing.
It's a little frightening. And some of those locals leading the pack are young kids.
Yeah.
And
I've seen Keegan out there.
Keegan, you know, as I think Jason put it last year, the year before, that he didn't even see Keegan once he got on Main Street. You know, Keegan was gone. So, and you know, congratulations to Keegan. I think he's 18th in the world right now, as a 19-year-old and 23-year-old group. So, anyhow, so the event basically you can register day of, which is different than most. I think it costs you an extra $5 or $10. I can't even remember. There is a kids' rate. We do want to encourage kids, and we do. You know, this race does fall the day after the Round Valley NICA race, so which is the high school race. And if you get a chance to get out there and see that, you should, because there's going to be 600 racers out there. This is a big deal and might be the last year it's actually in Park City because it's almost too big. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, back to Tour de Suds. Costumes are certainly encouraged. 10 o'clock start. Police escort up Main Street. And yeah, just come on out and have fun. There's burgers and beers and drinks and whatnot. Afterwards, we have a huge raffle, lots of local support and also sponsor support. Helly Hansen is the official sponsor of this race this year. North Face did it last year. And the party starts as soon as you get down off the hill. Pretty much come on down, and we'll be serving burgers and beer probably starting around 11:30.
Is that at City Park?
It's at the Plaza, Townlift Plaza.
Townlift Plaza.
So right. It's right there with Silly Market. So if you got friends and family that are going to want to do something like go to Silly Market, they can meet you at the race party afterwards.
Excellent. Are we worried at all about all this moisture on the trails? Is it getting absorbed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, two days ago, the Tour de Suds course was a little muddy, but that's kind of par for the course. It's in the shade. We're looking at, according to the weather, we're looking at this storm pattern kind of blowing through after today and maybe a little bit more rain tomorrow, which is only going to make the course super tacky and should be really, really fun to ride up it on Sunday. I mean, we're definitely getting some really good riding right now.
My new bike is going to make it super tacky.
Yeah, it's a nice new bike. It will make it super tacky. Well, it'll make you go up any faster.
All
right.
But we'll see. You know, Mountain Trails will have, we do have a costume team out there this year. So our trail crew is running. So we'd like to see some other contenders. We intend to win that contest this year.
Excellent. Charlie Sturgis, Mountain Trails Foundation, thanks for coming in today, and we'll see you on Sunday.
You betcha.
It's the Tour de Suds. 33rd, 34th, 35th annual. Very good. This is the Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Tama Keeves. She's the author of the new book, Inspired and Unstoppable. It's a good one. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Catherine Simos, Vice President and Branch Manager at Grand Valley Bank Frontier Branch, a proud supporter of KPCW. We understand the importance of local banking. We offer banking products from checking and savings accounts to business lending. Grand Valley Bank Frontier Branch is located at 1225 Deer Valley Drive or online at grandvalleybank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Many know that Botox can help with migraines, but don't know where to turn for qualified headache care. Locally board-certified doctors at Park City Specialty East can help ease the life-altering headaches with Botox. Intermountain Healthcare is a nonprofit organization, 435-658-7470.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak here with my co-host, Tim Henney. Well, have you ever felt like you might be settling for a life of almost, struggling to find inspiration, grasping for your calling? maybe you're in career transition and perhaps you ache for work that means something to the core for you, or you're self-employed and you want to take your business or calling to a whole new stratosphere. Still, you only want to fly in a way that feels sweet and authentic. Maybe it's your time to rock the world with your mission and contribution, but you don't know where to begin. Well, joining us by phone is Tama Keeves. She's an honors graduate of Harvard Law School who left her law practice to write and help others find and live their calling. She's joining us to talk about her new book called Inspired and Unstoppable, Wildly Succeeding in Your Life's Work. Tama Keeves, welcome to The Mountain Life.
I'm so glad to be here.
You know, I wanted to just start with this, Tama. I mean, being an honors graduate of Harvard Law School and then essentially casting all that aside in favor of things like passion and inspiration, it leaves perhaps the listener in a little bit of a quandary, like, wow, how do you, I mean, you have to be this certain type of person to make it to Harvard Law School to begin with. So maybe you could talk about that a little bit to start with.
You do have to be a certain type of person. Basically, you know, I knew when I was younger that I wanted to write. That was my dream. I'd always wanted to write. But I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, to an Orthodox Jewish family. And so basically all I would always hear was, you're going to write? You're going to stop. You're going to write. And so those dreams were not encouraged. And so I went to law school. You know, I did what I think a lot of people do. You know, they stuff what they really want to do. They stuff it down, and they choose what's practical, what's safe. And so I got accepted to Harvard Law School, and I graduated with honors from Harvard Law School. And I was on partnership track of a major law firm. And every day I would walk into that law firm, and I'd be so unhappy and so miserable. And I would always feel like there's got to be something else. There's got to be something more. And I know so many people feel this way. So many people have this going on in their lives. And thank God a friend of mine at the time just said something amazing to me. He said, think about it. If you've been this successful doing something you don't love, what could you do with work you do love?
Right.
And that's what began this journey for me. You know, I just realized, oh, my God, you get one chance in this lifetime. I want to know where this goes to live my dream.
Yeah. And I guess that was essentially going to be my follow-up question is that, I mean, to get where you got, how did you get there without passion and inspiration, knowing it wasn't what your dream was? And then, I mean,
that's a great question.
Yeah. People would just think, wow, to make it into Harvard Law School, it's, you know, one in 30,000.
You know, you know what I think, and I tell this to people, it's the wonders of terror. The wonders of pure, abject fear. You know, where you, I think a lot of us are on autopilot, you know, and thinking, doing what we should do and doing what we have to do or thinking it's what we have to do. And I think in some crazy way, there's a lot of passion and fear, you know, before you, I think at that time, I thought it was my survival. And what happened was I realized in hitting so much pain, it threatened my survival because I really got to a place where I didn't want to live anymore. I got to a place where I was just so unhappy. And so it made me realize, like, you know what, this safe job is not safe. Mm-hmm. And I really do need to listen to what inspires me. It's not frivolous. It's imperative. And so that's what began this whole journey for me. And it's why I'm so passionate about helping other intelligent, amazing, awesome human beings out there who are doing okay or almost succeeding, but they're not really taking what they most want to do in this life to the next level.
Tim, it's interesting, and there's a bit more of a transition that I sense might have occurred. How were you always connected to these inner values and these voices that were speaking to you when you were pursuing your less authentic business career?
The voices have always spoken to me. No. No, I was not connected. I mean, I sort of was, but I mean, I think a lot of us to succeed in an inauthentic way or to succeed sometimes, I always told people, you know, they pay you a lot of money to not feel. You know, they pay you a lot of money to damp down who you really are. And so I think when I finally opened up to fear and desperation, that's when I started soul searching. When I started looking for other inspiration.
And so you started looking and you recognized that you might have had a more authentic path before you, but it was very unclear. You didn't understand what that path was.
Well, absolutely.
You've come a very long way. I mean, all of a sudden now you're a life coach. And reading your book, you have the lexicon. You are speaking the words that come from the more metaphysical side of things. How did you make that transition?
You know, again, through desperation seems to be my main technique I left law without a plan, without knowing what I was going to do. I just knew somehow I wanted to write, but I didn't know what that meant or how. And so much of what I teach is inspired success, where it's not so much a step-by-step. It's not the 8 easy steps and the 30 days to your new life. It's really about following what moves me, what moves me. And so one thing leads to another leads to another. So just to give you an example, when I first started, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was starting to write poetry. That's what I thought, you know, that's what kept coming, which was so depressing to me, like, oh my God, you know, like, what shot do I have in life now? You know, but that is what kept coming, and you don't get to choose what you love. But as I wrote poetry, they became poetic essays about changing careers and about how do you stay inspired when you're in transition. And as I started writing these essays, I realized, oh, I think I want to write a book. And as I wrote a book, I realized, you know what, I want to be around other supportive people, people who are doing this kind of life. So I started teaching. And then as I started teaching, people had said, oh, my God, you're really good at this. You should do retreats. And then, you know, as I did that, people said, oh, my God, you're really good at this. You should do coaching. You should help us individually. So one thing leads to another, and people stop themselves because they want to see the whole thing right away, and all I ever want to get you to is the next step.
And Tam, isn't it, it's, again, there's kind of this almost inherent conflict or a strange juxtaposition between these inspirational platitudes that we all sort of feel are within us, but it's hard to define, they're unclear, and we search and we strive, and some of us come along further or, you know, with a different path than others. And you obviously have recognized things.
You nailed it.
And you're actualizing them in your life. But then they come into conflict with these societal definitions, which are very clearly defined with studies and research. And how do you meld the two?
You know, I love that question because to me, one of the things that is my life's work is to legitimize creativity, is to legitimize inspiration, to legitimize spirituality, you know, things that are looked at as the softer skills, you know, of almost marginal and marginalized. And for me personally, they are the things that kept me alive, and they kept me alive, and they kept me focused, and they kept me being able to succeed in this world in a way that I never in a million years dreamed, where I get to touch thousands and thousands of people now. People come to retreats and workshops or whatever, and it has tangible, quote, real-world results. So I very much want to know people to know that some of those things that are, quote, platitudes, and people do use them as platitudes, and they don't, you know, use them authentically. I want you to wrestle with them. I want you to make them your own. I want you to listen to that inspired voice that's inside you, that knowledge that's inside you. And what you mentioned about, you know, but there are studies and statistics. I think you find statistics and studies for what you look for. You know, I think you will find statistics and studies for what you look for. And the other thing that I always tell people is that, you know, I think that studies and statistics are studying the past, but it's not studying the future. It's not studying what's inside you, what you can bring to this planet, what you can bring to this world. If I had listened to statistics, I would never be doing the career I'm doing. And now I am part of a statistic. I can't say the word, but I'm part of it.
Very good. So, Tam, I guess I want to ask about, you know, we all have moments of passion and inspiration. And I'm sure this is something you teach people. How do you know when it's real, when it's more than just some inspired moment, when it's something that is going to really see you through to something that is your life's dream?
That's a great question. You know, first of all, I think that all inspiration is real. I think what you know when you're inspired, what you know when you're really inspired, that's what's real about you. And then fear comes in, or quote, practicality comes in or an old way of thinking comes in, and then you think, oh, that's what's real. I think when you're inspired, that's what's real, and fear came in, and this is going to be a path about how do I keep practicing? How do I not just get inspired, but stay inspired? But to go a little deeper with your question, you know, I'm a career coach, so I see a gazillion people, and they'll come in with the theory of the week, like, oh, I want to do this now, or, oh, right. I think I could do that now. There's a lot of things that come into your brain or come into your mind. There's only a few that stay with your heart, that stay with your soul.
So you
so
can
that's
decipher
what I'm
those.
Trying to get to.
Yes, yes. Because, you know, there are the people, and we see them in our everyday lives. You know, there are those of us who stay married to one job because we're kind of too scared to dream. And there are others of us who are jumping from inspired idea to inspired idea to inspired idea and never really following through or following through. But after a year, it's abandoned.
You know, but that's why I wrote Inspired and Unstoppable, is because I wanted people to know that this is a journey of, again, being excited about something and really inspired and then freaking out. You know, then thinking like, oh, my God, what am I doing? What was I thinking? And just I wanted people to know that, you know, that just because it doesn't work immediately or that you get scared doesn't mean it's not real and that I want to teach you to stay with it. So a lot of times the people who are leapfrogging, you know, going from inspiration to inspiration, sometimes that's genuine. Sometimes they're evolving. Sometimes they're learning, no, this isn't quite it. Now this is closer. Now, you know, like warmer, 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 hot, right? But sometimes it's an unwillingness to face the harder stuff. You know, like I have suffered a lot on this path. You know, I mean, there's mm-hmm. been a lot of times where, you know, I didn't get a speaking engagement. I wasn't the one who was chosen. I got rejected a million different times. But if you're staying with something that truly inspires you, you know, I always teach people that only the real dream has the power. If you stay with the thing you're really meant to do, it won't let you go. You just mm-hmm. have to keep doing it.
Our guest is Tama Keeves. She's the author of the new book, Inspired and Unstoppable, Wildly Succeeding in Your Life's Work.
Tama, another thing that kind of jumps out at me as you talked about your early progression and the events that led you to where you are now. And you were kind of motivated by fear out of necessity. You had to. There was suffering. So it's interesting that you're talking about doing things that stem from a place of desire, which is our connection to our inner self and our soul and our passion. But mm-hmm. yet you got there because you kind of had to. And it came from almost a motivation from fear.
I got through Harvard Law School because I had to, you know, and I got through certain things. So I think that a lot of people are very, very successful in a, quote, short-term way based on fear. They'll achieve. They'll have drive. They'll make it happen. But it's not a long-term success. You can't sustain that. So with desire, sometimes it's a slower path. I haven't succeeded as fastly and as wildly in this journey as I did as an attorney, you know, right away. But it's something. I'm in this for life, baby. You know, it's just like I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. And it's a different kind of success also. You know, it's you know, I always teach people that for me it's not about your possessions and it's not about your portfolio. It's about knowing that you're doing the right thing with your time on earth. So it is slower in some ways because for me it is a spiritual journey. It really is about learning how to listen to an inner voice and stilling the mind and not listening to your fears. But again, it's a more integrated journey. You're doing so much more. This is so much more than about a job. It's about your life. It's about your calling. It's about how you show up every single day. It spreads to how you treat your children, how you treat your coworkers. It's, you know, it changes everything.
I like that term, integrated, Tama, because that's what I sense that you're doing. You're taking this metaphysical side and you're talking about our desire and our inner knowledge of what we want to do and our passion, but you're taking it into the practical world and you're helping people to succeed in our more traditional definition of success. And that gets to that success part because it's not mutually exclusive, is it? I mean, you could actually love your job as an attorney. And if that's why you're doing it, because you are connected to it in a passionate way, you are going to succeed wildly.
Absolutely. And that's what I wanted people to know, is that the things that you love, the things that mean something to you, you are going to wildly succeed at those things if you follow it. And again, to speak to the spiritual point of it, I deeply believe it's a calling. I believe there's a reason you're called to do certain things. I believe there's a reason that you have these dreams. When I was practicing law, I felt broken. I felt like, God, what's wrong with me? Other people can buck up and hate their jobs. You know, we go to a therapist and like, why can't I just do it? And now I've realized it's what's right about me. There was something else inside me. There was some other life I was destined to give birth to. And so I really want to encourage people to go a little further with the things that are speaking to you, the desires that you have, because I believe, you know, in the book I call it an inspired success strategy, where I believe there's already a path there for you. There really is. There's already something you're meant to do. There's already a way to do it, and it's learning how to listen. And it's not listening to experts. It's listening to you. You're the expert on this path. It's listening to your soul. It's listening to your energy. But this is the adventure of a lifetime.
And if we all have that within us, to me, it's like, how do you recognize what your passion is? That's a big question. But also, what about those people who don't hear it? What about those people who aren't connected to it? What about those people who are comfortable in their quote unquote normal lives?
Well, you know, actually, there's a great quote, and I don't know who said it. It's not mine, but it's something like, a prophet comes to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I love that because, you know, when people are comfortable, I think, you know, then wait a little while. You know, if you're really comfortable, I wouldn't screw with it, right? You know, I have a brother like that. He's really happy. 9 to 5, he's happy, he's fine. Sometimes your calling isn't career, you know? Sometimes your calling is how you treat your wife, how you grow a garden, it doesn't matter to me what it is. It matters that you're following a desire and you're following your heart. But to answer your question about, well, how do you know what that is? Sometimes, you know, people are always asking me, I don't know what I love, Tim. I don't know what I love. I would kill to know what I love. Mm-hmm. And I'll always ask them, you know, well, what do you love? What moves you? What touches you? What makes you feel alive? And they'll always say, well, I don't know. And it's because they're asking the wrong question. What they're usually asking is, what do I love that makes money? What do I love that I'm not too old for? What do I love that I'm not too young for? All I want to ask you is, what do you love? What do you really love? What moves you? What touches you? I want you to do that right now, because I promise you, if you do that, you're going to be inspired. Something creative is going to come to you. You're going to have different ideas. You're going to have different brain chemistry. You're going to feel differently. That's the place to start.
Mm. The book is Inspired and Unstoppable, Wildly Succeeding in Your Life's Work. And Tama Keeves, thanks so much for your time today.
I so appreciate it, and I so hope people can join me if they want more support at inspiredandunstoppable.com. Inspiredandunstoppable.com. There's free resources out there that you can download right away for getting past your fears and getting in touch with your true direction, because I can't encourage you enough to support this journey in your lifetime. Your life is worth this chance, and you have gifts to give our world right now.
Very good. And they can also find you at TamaKeeves.com. I see you have a whole website on that as well. So, Tama, thanks. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, same here. Thank you for such a great interview.
And that, again, was Tama Keeves. She's the author of Inspired and Unstoppable. You're listening to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. Stay with us. We'll be right back with chef and author Tracy Griffith.
Hello, this is Jill Van Ostel, Spa Director at Stein Erickson Lodge Deer Valley, a proud supporter of KPCW Radio. Our Norwegian spa offers wellness classes, fitness facility, an outdoor pool with food and beverage service, treatment menus, and locally crafted product lines. 645-6475 or steinlodge.com.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak here with my co-host Tim Henney. Well, gluten, it wouldn't now be considered so toxic were it not for the adulteration of wheat. And now a whole generation is beginning to reconsider their diets, especially diets of children. How do you deal with school lunches without gluten? It's difficult. But our next guest, Tracy Griffith, is both a chef and an author. She's written a new book called Stealth Health, Lunches Kids Love. And she gives us a few great tips on how to cut it out of our kids' diets and ours as well. And Tracy Griffith, welcome to The Mountain Life. Tracy, let's start with this. You know, we're learning more and more about gluten and the poor effects it has on our bodies. And I think as adults, we're moving away from it in mass, really. And therefore, we look at our children's diets, and so much more, I think, even of children's diets contain high amounts of wheat. And so much of it is that, so much carbohydrates. So maybe you could start by telling us, you know, what motivated you towards creating a recipe book full of not only great recipes, but ways to replace gluten.
Well, the biggest thing is the I have a food company in California called New Gem Foods that creates these vegetable wraps. It's vegetable purees that are dehydrated and flattened into sheets, so you use them as alternatives to bread and lavash and what have you, but they are naturally gluten-free, and I sort of was intrigued by the whole gluten-free thing. Like you said, it's become so, you know, so in everyone's consciousness lately. Probably in the last, 4 years, maybe?
Probably, yeah.
So aware of it. So I was intrigued with that, and I not that I was aware of it, I don't have any gluten intolerance, but I went on a gluten-free diet, and it was remarkable, the difference I felt in energy and clarity and the mind and all that, all the things they say. I thought, wow, if that affects an adult that much, how about a child who's growing and so, you know, so sensitive? It must be... So, and I have a six-year-old nephew who I adore, who loves to cook. He's on the cover. Actually, that's him. That's Stone Griffith.
Aw, cutie.
So he inspired me for him, because I see how, you know, children, you know, I'm a chef, so the children's menu always aggravates me, because it's always mac and cheese and hot dogs and pizza. I'm like, wow, really? That's so limited to not only their health, but their palate.
Well, I know, and it seems like, as a mom myself, I have had that struggle throughout the years, as I think everyone does. Sometimes you find that you're feeding your kids nothing but gluten-laden things.
From Wonder Bread.
Right.
Well, from mac and cheese, even if it's the organic one, or if you're feeding them a sandwich at lunch, you still, even if it's a healthy sandwich, you still have bread. So maybe take us through, not only does your company make these gem wraps, and I'm looking at some carrot gem wraps, which are great, but you have recipes in your book for pita bread.
Right.
And yeah, so how do you make delicious tortillas and pita bread at home that are gluten-free?
I have to say, finding the right recipe for these was a fun challenge, but you really do have to find the right one, because if you find the wrong one, it is not good. It's like lead.
Is it? Okay.
So I did do quite a bit of testing, lots and lots of testing on how to get it light and tasty, and I think I'm pretty confident I achieved that with these recipes. It's not hard. It's just the combination of flours and, you know, like tapioca starch or something to make it bind for the glue that you don't have with gluten. Because since you're gluten free, so that was fun, and they're actually really easy to make. The pitas are fun too, because they puff up and split themselves. They're kind of cool how they go. But the thing with wheat, it's not just that it's gluten. There's people that call it Franken wheat now. It's been modified so many years, the most modified grain we have, and for so long,
right,
that it's become almost a foreign object to your body. To simplify the situation, but it's like eating like a little piece of plastic or something. Your body's like, whoa, I have to deal with this. And it has to give all its energy to digest and deal with it.
Which is why when people ask the question, well, we've been eating bread for millennia. Why is it suddenly, you know, so trendy that it doesn't work? But it is what you say is that evolution of wild GMOs and all kinds of modification.
Crossbreeding and hybridization. And I have a friend who's severely gluten intolerant, but if he eats the ancient wheat, he's fine. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, that is interesting.
Isn't that something?
How can you find that? Because I've heard this before, but I'm not ever sure how you can find ancient wheat.
Yeah, you can, you know, Google it. Google. You can find it in specialty health food stores, and you can order it. Yeah, it's amazing. I forgot the name of it right now, but you can Google it and you'll find it. It's incredible. So that's part of the problem. It's not just that, you know, wheat is bad, gluten's bad. It's the wheat, modified wheat, that's just weird.
So Tracy, your book and the other kind of books that we've seen, and this theme that has come into prominence about gluten is in response to the change in wheat, because as Lynn was just saying, and you also mentioned, it seems like kids, when I was a kid, which is a long time ago now, I mean, when we were eating Wonder Bread, it probably was good for us because
right.
it was more of an ancient wheat to begin with.
Right.
And it was enriched with various minerals and vitamins and all that stuff about Wonder Bread.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, that I mean, we kind of.
Who knows what's in there?
Well, right. And we kind of joke about Wonder Bread now. It has become the butt of the joke a little bit, which is maybe warranted
Not
and
fair.
Justified.
Yeah.
But back 45 years ago, 50 years ago, it probably was an extremely healthy food.
Right.
And now it's not. So now we have in response. Books like yours and the gem wraps like yours that mm-hmm. are addressing the change in the basic genetic makeup of our food stock.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And it's a good time to be gluten free. There's so many options. I mean, again, like 5 years ago, there was not even half of what you can get now. Including these gem wraps that I make. I mean, it's really fortunate to, if you want to be gluten-free, you have a lot of options.
And tell us a little bit more about the gem wraps. Lynn said we have a package of the carrot here, but mm-hmm. I assume you have a variety of flavors made out of different...
We do. We make them out of... It actually came... I have my my partner... I'm a sushi chef by trade, and so I worked a lot, obviously, with Nori. And my partner, Matthew, who's the creator of this company and these wraps, loved sushi, but he didn't like seaweed so much, which a lot of Americans, you know, they're not mm-hmm. raised with it. It's not used to it. So he went to Japan and figured out how they puree seaweed and how they dehydrate it and how they flatten it and the whole process, the technical process. And he came back and applied that to vegetables and fruits. So we have a whole line of, they're called origami wraps, that's for sushi. And then the gem wraps is a little thicker, a little more tender, is for the bread. And we have apple and mango chipotle, that's a good one, carrot, tomato, barbecue. We're developing more flavors as we go. We have a lime coming out. So, yeah, they're fun. They're completely natural, all 100% natural purees of whatever they're made of. Like the carrot wrap is like eating six carrots.
And I see on the packaging, you have a website for the gem wraps. It's called newgemfoods.com, and you have a list of recipes there. And then
yeah.
you also have a Facebook site. So if people are interested in looking further into gem wraps, they can find it either on Facebook or at your website.
Right. And you can order there, and you can also, there's videos on how to use it. It's pretty simple. It's like a how you use a tortilla. You roll it up. You just wipe the edge with a little water to seal it. So they're simple. They're fun.
Well,
and they're beautifully colored, you know, naturally colored. So kids also are fascinated by that. And it's kind of a given if a kid's fascinated with something, they'll eat it.
I noticed that in the recipe book, the photos of the gem wraps and actually all the food that you present it's beautifully photographed. So, maybe it's just photogenic food. But,
it is photogenic food. That's a good way to put it.
But it really does look appealing. I mean, there's some beautiful food items in your book.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm also a painter, so I love color. I'm big on in getting the right color, complementary colors in food.
Right. Our guest is Tracy Griffith. She is the author of the new recipe book, Stealth Health Lunches Kids Love, Irresistible and Nutritious Gluten-Free Sandwiches, Wraps, and Other Easy Eats.
So is that part of it, Tracy, is the fun aspect, the color,
oh, yeah.
the materials, the ability to create simple foods that are good for you? Is that part of the pitch to the children and their moms?
Yeah. It's I did extensive testing and also because I live part-time in Asia, I did a lot of testing over there and the U.S. and both coasts, like New York and California. And all the kids, it was remarkable. They're just fascinated by, first of all, that it's so easy to roll. You know, kids love to use their hands. You know, they're naturally want to make stuff, you know. And that it was so easy for them to roll it, and they could create their own roll. They could pick, you know, a little turkey and a little tomato and whatever they wanted and roll it up. And it was like, wow, look at what I did. You know, it got them very excited. And then they genuinely loved the taste.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I was lucky. It was funny because the moms would a lot of times would come to the tasting and say, you know, Johnny probably won't eat it because he's really picky, so I don't want you to be upset. And Johnny said, "Let me get another one."
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, if we start to feed our kids good food, that's how they develop a taste for good food. You know, it's pretty simple. And, you know, school lunch programs all over the country and in Park City, they're just starting a new effort at bringing, you know, more whole foods into the school lunch program. But still, as parents who are concerned about what we put in our mouth, you know, we still tend to pack lunches for you know, at least the young kids. And so this is really fun. And I've just opened to the page where you have a chicken hot dog, but you've wrapped it with one of the wraps and then you've shoved some greens in there too. So you're getting, it's a hot dog, but you're sneaking in the vegetables. Right.
So yeah, I feature some spreads, you know, that are packed. Again, it's basically a puree in, you know, cream cheese or hummus that's so concentrated, you know, one teaspoon is like a half a bunch of basil or something, you know, because the puree thing is as every mom knows, I'm sure, is a secret weapon into getting vegetables in the food. But then that also, it can hold the other vegetables like lettuce or tomatoes, you know, and then you roll it up and you don't see it that much. They don't see how much is in there.
Exactly.
They have like a mini salad in their chicken wrap. They have no idea.
Well, I'm wondering, Tracy, I happen to have a food dehydrator, which, you know, on my best sort of me, I might actually use, but it mostly sits in the pantry. And I think I'm going to get back to that project someday. But do you also have the recipes in the book for the wraps if someone does have their own food dehydrator or?
No, you have to buy them from me.
That's what I thought, but I, you know, just want to make sure.
But I do have other things like the kale, you know, chips, chips, carrot crisps, bunny nibbles, they're called. You know, you can certainly use your dehydrator for things like that because it really works. And keeping it, obviously, at a low temperature qualifies it as raw food and has all the enzymes in it. So, yeah, dehydrators are great.
Do you have any favorite recipes that, you know, kids just flock to?
Yeah, it was funny because I almost didn't put it in the book because it was sort of odd. I mean, even adults are like, oh, that sounds kind of weird. It's called the Fruity Patootie, and it's chicken. It's roasted chicken that's shredded and mixed with apples and grapes and peanut butter, which sounds, could be good, could be bad, but it's actually really tasty. It kind of hits all the taste buds of people, I think, and kids love peanut butter. And you can use almond butter, you know, if you have the peanut issue.
Right, yeah.
But that one, I was surprised. I tested it, and I thought, well, that's probably not going to make it, and it was one of the favorites.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Well, this is a really fun book, Tracy, and I'm glad you've sent it to us. And, you know, we do have a community of very health-minded people here in Park City. And so thanks for your time today.
And I appreciate it. And we have a blog for the book. It's called luncheskidslove.wordpress.com.
Okay.
And I go there and, you know, chat about the recipes and get feedback. And, you know, it's a fun spot for people who are using the book. And if they need any help with anything, I'm there.
Okay, very good. Again, the book is Stealth Health Lunches Kids Love, Irresistible and Nutritious Gluten-Free Sandwiches, Wraps, and Other Easy Eats. And Tracy Griffith, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Bye, guys.
And this is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. We'll be right back.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longreimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Park City Nursery. For 30 years, we know what grows. ParkCityNursery.com. VaultHomeLoans.com. Purchase and refinance mortgages. Conventional FHA and VA, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Hi, this is Eric Karshner, Assistant General Manager of Park Meadows Country Club, sponsor of The Mountain Life on KPCW. Park Meadows Country Club is the only in-town private country club just minutes from historic Main Street. Golf, social, and dining memberships are available. 649-2460 or on the web at parkmeadowscc.com.
Thanks for listening to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. Want to thank our underwriters.
Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, Stein Erickson Lodge and Spa, the Park Meadows Country Club, Prudential Utah Real Estate, Park City Clinic, San Francisco Design, and Grand Valley Bank.
Wow. Well,
it's quite,
put.
Quite a list.
Quite a list there. We thank our underwriters. Also want to invite you to tune in next week. We'll be speaking with Molly Haskell. She's quite a famous film critic, but she's back with a new book about her brother turned sister. I'm blanking on the name of the book right now, but it's a great book about what issues face transgenders. Also, we'll be speaking with Gemma Arro. She is a great dual immersion language teacher at Parley's Park Elementary. She talks all about what it's like to come here and be a teacher. You're listening to KPCW 91.9 FM Park City. Thanks again for listening to The Mountain Life.